In October, Frank talked about grief and loss. If you recall the fall sermons, we discussed many types of losses. Losses of loved one, marriage, job, to name a few. And Bronnie Ware added natural disasters and many others in the reading we just heard. As we learned, these losses involve grief, grieving, which everyone must do in their own time and in their own way. As I sat listening to the October services, I thought about filling the voids left by loss. Just to be specific, I'm not thinking we can fill the loss of in your heart of the loss of a loved one. The best we can do is to learn to move forward with that void. However, losses leave a lot more voids than that, and a lot that many people don't even think about until you go through it. As I learned when I lost my late wife, Joni, the loss included not only the loss of the person I loved most, but the dreams we had, the future we shared. I had more time because I was a caregiver, so there was more time that I had. So I had there was the void of someone to share with, not just your dreams and plans, but discussions, chores, responsibilities. The void of the, and for many, there's a void of financial loss. Many of these same things apply to a loss of a marriage or relationship. And if children are involved, then there's a whole host of other voids, including lost time and experiences with those children. Several of these same things apply if you lose a job, even if you lose it through retirement and it's your choice. You still have losses, as many of us I know have experienced. I certainly felt them when I retired. Every type of loss I can think of creates voids that you only really think of when you go through them. So what do we do with these voids, and how do we move forward? I have experienced personally or through friends and family three different ways of dealing with the voids, and there are probably more, but I'm going to focus on three. One, those who get stuck and cannot move forward. Those who jump into things very quickly to fill the void as fast as possible, and those who start again. And some people, including myself, have passed through one and two while we process and heal on our way to starting again. There's no right or wrong. We all must follow our own path in our own timeline. But I'll talk about the first group a little more, and they're the group that gets stuck and cannot move forward. We've seen with the death of a widow or widower who've been in long-term relationships, often the spouse passes very quickly. The thought of starting over is overwhelming, and we often say they died of a broken heart. Some give up in a different way. They sit in front of the television or in front of the electronics, not really living life, but living through those on the screen. Some go on working, but they cannot get through the grief to move on to a new life. They stagnate in old routines, whether they like them or not. In some cases, anger becomes a new way of life, and they cannot see anything to be grateful for or any joy in the world. It's hard to think about moving forward after a big loss, so it's natural to do some of these things, at least for a while you try to regain your bearings. But some get stuck here and never move forward. The second group is the group that jump into things right away. Some can't be alone, so they jump into a relationship or marriage right away. And in some cases, I've seen some that seem more like a companionship than for love, and sometimes that's enough. And sometimes it results in another loss. Others get busy filling their time, leaving little time for themselves or for thinking, because thinking's really hard when you've had a loss, isn't it? They jump into more hours at work, volunteering, cleaning their house, any host of things. When my mother passed, I jumped into more work. When a friend of mine lost her job unexpectedly, she cleaned her house from top to bottom. And then thought, boy, I hope I didn't get rid of anything I'll regret later. These options, they don't leave a lot of time for creating new dreams, new relationships, new futures. They're a Band-Aid, which can be useful for a while, but eventually something more may be desired. May not, but it may be desired. The third group that Bronnie Ware suggests in the reading is those who start again. My experience after losing Joni is that this is not easy. It comes in fits and starts with frustration and tears. It's not easy to rethink your future. It requires a whole new vision and an awful lot of decisions. Excuse me. Some are practical things. Some of those decisions are practical things that you need to decide right away. And others are more about your personal wants, desires, and needs. Because it changes without your partner. And there's some things you do because your partner liked them. And you love your partner. There are a lot of questions to consider when thinking about starting again. And I'll list a series of them, but there's so many, and they vary for every person and every experience. But to name a few, there's a question to consider whether you want to live in the same house, both financially and emotionally. Is that possible? Do you even want to live in the same house? Can you, and do you want to live in the same house or even in the same area? Do you want all the responsibilities of living where you live? Or do you need to give some of that up and move someplace easier? Do I need to consider a new additional job? Do I need or want to work longer than I had originally planned? Or in my case, it ended up being shorter than I had originally planned. How do I want to spend my days? Do I want to try something different, a different type of work or volunteering? Do I want to take up something new that I always wanted to try, but my partner had no desire for it? Do I want to spend more time doing something I love that I just didn't do before? Do I really want to continue all the things I did as a couple? And is that even possible? Some things you may not be able to. What are my new travel priorities? For example, when Joni died, I was able to go on a trip to China with my family, which I never would have done. She never would have gone to China. And she would have worried if I'd gone without her. So that became an opportunity for me. Do I want to do some things alone? And if not, am I going to find someone, and who am I going to find to do them with? I've tried some things to see if they fit, and I found some answers through going within. Sometimes I feel called to do something, but I'm hesitant. So I try it and see how it feels, and that's exactly how I ended up doing sermons. So your future's changed, and now there are so many things to rethink so you can live your life going forward. The list of questions to be decided, the timing, the priority will vary for each person and each situation. So many possibilities to start over. And there's no right or wrong path. It can be daunting and scary, or an adventure. And it's likely you'll have all of these thoughts. I certainly have, and more. I lay these three things out as separate groups, and sometimes they are, and people stay in one of these places. However, sometimes it's phases we go through as we work through our grief and process the idea of a new life. You may need time to be a vegetable in front of the TV or electronics as a balm or distraction. And you might stay there forever, or you might stay until you're ready for more. You may jump into some things that you get stuck in, or you may realize that this is not what you were meant for or you want to do. This may lead you to really think through what you want. It's a lot. And sometimes, as Bronnie Ware says, you need help, and you need to lean on others and take help. It requires layers of thought and time. But it's worth taking the time to rethink and start over again when loss changes your life like that. Even though you'll always carry the loss, it's an opportunity to go within and listen to make a more fulfilling life going forward. Make it what you want it to be and live your life. I think of it as a phoenix rising from the ashes or a butterfly emerging from a cocoon. The how, when, speed, and direction will be different for everyone, but it all starts with one small step. Often after a loss, a good first step is to think about what you're grateful for. A gratitude journal can be a great help. Another good step, and I've mentioned this in other sermons, is the exercise from the artist's way, where you think about things you love to do as a child and go back and do them again. The important thing is to take a step. So have you been through this when you've had losses? Is any of this resonating, I hope? My hope for you is that when you encounter a loss, as we all will, you will find your way in your own time to start again. Amen, and blessed be.